Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lo Tullist, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The Story Behind the Song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
And what do you eat in Louisville, Kentucky?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, checking out the series. You know what to do. You like what you see, what you hear, hit that subscribe button. I put out 3 new interviews every single week, new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists and discover some new ones as well. And today, that artist that I get to talk with is the one, the only, the legendary Paul Oakenfold. We're going to be talking about Shine On. This is his 4th full-length album. We're going to get into making a cinematic record, how the opening track actually traces back to his hit Ready, Steady, Go, and bringing dance music out of the nightclub, also resurrecting his 2014 song Touch Me. Now, Paul's also going to preview his upcoming tour with New Order and Pet Shop Boys. We're going to talk about really leaning into the 80s. The eventual 20th anniversary celebration of Bunka, the big hit that came out in 2002. And we'll go into the backstory of recording more than 6 hours worth of material with the late Hunter S. Thompson. So let's do it. Talk about Shine On with apologies to a little bit of the sound issues here. It's Kyle Meredith with Paul Oakenfold.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
Hello, hello.
You've got a brand new record called Shine On. And what an outstanding album this is. I think this is album number 4, technically speaking. And just the moods, different genre. I mean, you've kind of packed everything into this, right?
It's a very cinematic record. It was a record that I finished during COVID. It was a long haul for me. I started it, many years ago. It was a stop-start situation. And what I mean by that, I would go on tour for like a month, come back, record vocals, go away again, and then finish it. So some tracks took 6 months to finish. But during COVID, I kind of locked myself in. I spent a lot of time thinking about a direction, where I was in my life, musically, what inspired me, and it came out the other end as more of a score than a dance record.
You get that right from the beginning too with Zanzibar. And I wrote that down. The words I wrote down was like a score to a movie that I've yet to see.
Exactly.
Yeah, that really does set it up. That track right there, is that, I mean, Is that why you chose? Is that why it kind of kickstarts it?
It's very interesting because I wrote a song many years ago called Ready, Steady, Go for a trailer of a movie that didn't exist. I was like, well, let me see if I can do a piece of music for a trailer. And Ready, Steady, Go was that. So this time around, I was like, well, you know, let me write a track for a movie that's moody, that's dark, that's dangerous, and hence the first track on the album.
Zanzibar itself, I mean, that puts you in a frame of mind, choosing the location. Why did you land on that location?
Well, I was in Marrakesh, actually, and I got really inspired by listening there. I was hanging out with a few musicians. I was listening to what they were doing, and I wanted to use ethnic sounds. So years later, I was like, well, this sounds like it could be called Zanzibar. Just, I love the name. I mean, and it's ethnic sounding, and hopefully you close your eyes and it takes you somewhere like that. That's the idea.
That's become, you know, a thing. One of your, you've got many hallmarks at this point, but talking about locations, not only do the locations end up in your songs, but you end up finding ways to play these locations, the locations that nobody else thinks to play music on. How specifically does the location direct the music in cases like this?
I've always felt that, you know, the battle of dance music, if we want to call it that, from the old community of years ago, was that dance music should only be in a club. Like when I played main stage at Glastonbury before the, it was James Addiction who was closing out the show. I was on main stage and the curtains were closed behind me and all you heard was the tech guys going, on the mic, 1-2, 1-2, mic check, 1-2. Why I was playing out live to 50,000 people. You could hear the drummer banging his drums. And I always felt that there wasn't respect from that community of tech guys who worked for bands with DJs. Look, I've always made my own music. I produced some of the biggest artists in the world, Madonna, Cher. I've toured with the biggest artists in the world, whether it's U2, Chili Peppers. So for me, dance music just doesn't live in a nightclub. Like rock and roll, like any music doesn't just live in a certain space. Music is for the world to share, explore, and love. So hence, when I get asked to go and DJ at Stonehenge or Mount Everest or Area 51, I'm like, yeah, I'll go and I'll share my music with people around the world. And that's it, really.
Well, it does give it so much more depth, I think, or at least, I mean, in this 3D quality sort of way, you know, just from beyond the notes to where we can all go. As you mentioned with Zanzibar, you know, that does take me somewhere. And on this record, it's interesting because, you know, we talk about this cinematic quality that it has, but right after that, you know, when I first listened to it, I thought it's interesting. It's almost got a singer-songwriter-esque quality to the record for a little bit, for the first half of the record, I think. You've talked about that before, grabbing artists who don't necessarily aren't known for dance music. And I kind of feel that's where you hit at the beginning there. Did you line it up in that way?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the arrangement of the record, hopefully it tells a story. It starts off with an instrumental piece. It then jumps into a male vocal, female vocal. Some you'll know, some of these vocalists you'll know, some you won't. The pace picks up towards the end of the record. So it's hopefully a record that you can listen to, whether it's in your car, whether you're at home with the headphones on or doing the ironing or cleaning the house. There's a journey, and that journey comes from me as a DJ expressing myself through, you know, a two-hour set. So that's really the programming of an album is very, very important for me anyway, because that's where I come from as a DJ. It's programming music.
Speaking of vocalists, who is it that's singing on Get To You? I couldn't actually find a name listed on that one.
So Get To You is a young, new singer out of Vancouver. She's not well known at all. She's more of a session singer. And what's really interesting in that song was I went to Harry Gregson Williams, who's a big film composer, very, very good at what he's done. Last movie he done was House of Gucci. He's done a lot of Ridley Scott's films. He's done Shrek. So I went to him and said, listen, I've got this song that really lends itself to a full orchestra. And that song has got a 75-piece orchestra on it. Wow. It's pretty out there. And then I couldn't mix it myself. I mean, it was a bit overwhelming. So then I went to one of the guys who worked on James Bond, who'd mixed James Bond, Adele's song, Sam Smith's song, and I got him to mix it. So there's very little of me on that record, actually. I just realised that. I'm like, hang on, am I on that fucking record? Because originally I did the demo. The process was I wrote an instrumental, got it vocaled, and then handed it over and got the string arrangements and got someone else to mix it. So, yeah, I'm if you blink, you're going to miss me on that tune. Put it that way. But
it's amazing what you can get away with as the producer, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I produced it, obviously, but usually I'm a lot more hands-on. I mix, I write, you know, I'm involved in everything. So that's a strange one. I never thought about it like that.
It you know, you explaining in the orchestra, I mean, it gives this complete mood that you hear through that. And another one that does that for me, the same thing is Touch Me. I mean, talk about a complete mood. You know, you've got the picture of a Blade Runner right behind you. And it's interesting because that same movie kind of crossed my mind when, you know, you hear that, the pulsing synths in that track. And this is one you brought over, right? This one, I think I saw, came from the 2014 album, Transmission.
Yes. And so what it was, Transmission was a moment where I decided I was being asked to remix a lot of classics, and I'm remixing all these classics and they're blowing up and they're doing really well. And I'm like, well, hang on, why don't I do cover versions and put an album out of my interpretation of these early 90s songs? And instead of just doing remixes, I'll do it as a modern dance album that cover versions of songs that maybe the current generation at that time and the new generation, which is now, have never heard of, but they could be played today. Because some of these songs from the early 90s, you can't really play. The production quality is not there. So that's what happened there. And it was all straight, full-on dance music. So Touch Me was a song that I was very close to. I when I had my residency at Pasha nightclub in Ibiza, I was given the only DJ to be given the original copyright. And I had it all summer and no other DJ had it. And in those days, that was kind of a big thing. And it became a very close record for me. And I knew the singer, Cassandra, and I said, listen, this song has never been done in a cinematic, down-tempo vibe, which you could be on the beach having a cocktail and listening to, or it could be something that you know the song and you go, fuck, I've never heard this before. So again, that was the idea behind it, and it worked really well because I've had a lot of people go, hang on, I know this song. Where do I know it from? But you've never heard this version. Otherwise, there's no point in doing it.
It's one of those ones that's really stuck with me with repeated listens. You know, it's like especially as I'm trying to research for this interview, I kind of just want to skip ahead and get to that one quicker every single time. You know, it's the kind of thing you want to do. And the other one, but I'll bring up is He's All I Want. I mean, this one, it's almost like a dizzying effect that I get from this one. You know, this is the one where if I'm on the dance floor, I'm spinning around. It's kind of one of those things.
This is a song that's melodic, uplifting, and makes you feel good. You hear it on the dance floor, it works. It's straight to the point. You know, the record starts off very down tempo, and this is the first song really that takes you into the second half of the record, where I picked the tempo up and I wanted something light and uplifting, and this is that track.
Yeah, I don't want to paint any pictures here, but I took a stroll on this album while I was taking a shower, and I think I probably, if I hadn't been watching, I would have slipped and fell and broke my neck because of that song.
Don't paint that. Don't you? Hang on, you painted a weird picture. So let me get this right. You're naked, you're showering, you're lathering up, and then you want me to imagine that?
Absolutely. All of that stuff was happening right there, but with your soundtrack on the shower radio.
What a picture to paint. I thought this interview was going really well. We've gone down the wrong road here.
Oh, you know, we're painting lots of pictures in this interview. You know, the cinematic landscapes, they can go in so many ways. And you can't control what happens to your music after you let it go.
I've just realized that. I think I'm going to quit after this interview. I'm throwing the towel in. It's over.
That's it. I'm the reason. The guests, you know, we've talked about a few of them. As you mentioned, unknown names. There are also some great names on here as well. You've got Eve. That was fun to see Eve on here. I think you guys have known each other for quite some time. You know,
back a while.
Yeah. With all these, I know most stuff, you know, it's 2022. Most stuff doesn't happen in person anymore. And I don't know if, for you, maybe did it ever, but I started thinking about that as like, you know, with everything just being files sent over in studio to studio, do you ever feel like we lose something by not having everybody in a room together?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm most of this record was recorded in the room. I've recorded a lot of it before COVID. The mixes have all changed. The mixes certainly became a bit old, and during COVID, I cleaned it all up. I focused on the mix, but 90% of the recording has been in the room with the singer and the songwriter. A lot of the production has been done my own in my studio in Hollywood.
Well, that's nice then, because I don't think a lot of people take that opportunity as much anymore. So I love hearing that.
Moving forward, that's the only way. Look, my next Monday, I've got a session and I'm really looking forward to it, because two of my favorite singer-songwriters, who very few people have heard, but they're on my album, are Baby and Velvet Cash. So I have Baby in Velvet Cash in my studio next Monday, and I've already figured out the direction of the song. I've figured out the chorus, and these two are much, much better songwriters than me. But I'm like, I think I've tapped into saying, if we get it right, it could be a real cool record. A good record, actually. So I'm really looking forward to next Monday's session.
Yeah, and I love hearing it, because you don't stop. I mean, you have so many irons in the fire, it sounds like, even beyond this, which I'll hit on a couple of those. I know on top of the album and the other projects, you're also doing some touring. I know some shows are coming up. And then later this year, very exciting to hear, New Order and Pet Shop Boys. You're going out with both of those, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think like many artists, because, you know, I never played live for 17 months, and for 20 odd years, I've just been touring the world, seeing the world, experiencing, loving it, playing music, sharing, and then it all stopped for 17 months for all of us, some longer than others. So things have been building up. So this year, I'm back on the road, Europe and North America. I've got my second autobiography coming out in June. I scored a documentary movie based on dance music that's coming out later in the year. And then there's my record company celebrating its anniversary, so there will be a documentary. So there's a lot of good things to share with the world based on electronic music that I hope people enjoy, that we've been working on for years now.
Well, you know, I do want to ask about that, you know, those shows real quick, because I was wondering, especially when you've got a bill like that, like New Order, Pet Shop Boys, There You Are. Obviously, you know, they are still put out great music to this day, but, you know, they come from a certain era. Do you take that opportunity to cater to a moment like that on the music that you're doing? Do you lean into that? Do you hit the nostalgia?
So, good question, actually, because the call before yourself was with the agent for the. I mean, look, this is a big tour. There's two nights at the Hollywood Bowl. There's Madison Square Garden, and I'm very lucky that they asked me. You know, this is, let's be honest, this is Pet Shop Boys and New Order. It's their tour. You know, I've been on tour with massive acts. I've opened for U2, Madonna. I'm open for a few. And I understand and respect. I'm the support act. This is their tour, their show. Right. And respectfully, I don't think many people come to see me, because when you get a tour like that, that's the way it works. So I did a lot of thought into what I was going to play, as I do, you know. When you're opening for Lenny Kravitz or Chili Peppers, you've got to look at what you're going to play, how you're going to play it, and realize what your place is within the bigger setup. So Pet Shop Boys and New Order are 80s bands. There's no point me going there and playing underground dance music to a 50-year-old whatever, right? That ain't going to work. And my job is to get the crowd going. I have two moments. I have the first hour, then one of the bands, because they flip, and then I play 30 minutes in between. So what am I going to do? I'm going to play the hits of the 80s, sing-along hits for the 80s, music that I grew up on, music that I love, music that I haven't played. I don't know even if I ever played it. Right? Humanly, Don't You Want Me, Baby, Queen, Dancing Queen, Pink Floyd, you know, why not? So I'm just going to go straight to the point and play songs that everyone can sing along to. Everyone's going to get in the mood. They're going to enjoy the whole evening, and I'm going to have a great time.
I mean, you know, because you don't always have the excuse to lean into it like that. I mean, and just to be like, you know what? This is not hard. We're just going to have fun.
It's not hard at all. And it's I've never, ever done it before. So why not seize the moment? And, you know, my management were going, well, you got to play tracks from your new album. I'm like, why? I mean, no one's going to fucking know what it is anyway. You know, it's not like I'm going to do an underground mix of Pray For Me. You know, people are going to, especially if I'm playing these tracks either side. So let's take a step back, realize that I'm lucky that I got invited, play that set that everyone wants to hear but have never heard, and it's a first for me.
Well, I'm going to have to make the trip to see that one. That sounds like a fun night all the way around with all three of you. But I would be the guy in the crowd that would be fine with hearing the new music too. Just if that's me, I won't be naked. I promise that much, at least.
I appreciate that, because, you know, But I will do after parties, and the after parties are real, all new underground cutting edge music. So there you go.
That'd be the good stuff. The one other thing I was going to hit, this year does also mark the 20th anniversary of the Bunker record. Do you get to, I mean, I don't know where you would do it, but do you shoehorn some celebrations in on that one as well?
I think what we're going to do, because we got enough going on this year and we want to focus on my artist album, the Perfecto documentary, and obviously the book. So I think we're going to push that, because we lost 2 years, really. And it was difficult. So as I say, it's like many artists, I probably think a lot of things are stacking up. I mean, this album, I've already got 7 new tracks ready to go that are not even on this album. I mean, when you during COVID, that's all you do is make music.
Well, you got deluxe editions, you got, you know, follow-up EPs and everything. Yeah, well, I look forward to that too. I mean, of course, Bunker was a great record. It's a classic record. I was going back and listening to it the other day, and I heard the Hunter S. Thompson track, Nixon Spirit. And Hunter's from here in Louisville. So, of course, you know, he's... like Muhammad Ali, he's sort of all around me, you know? So it was a great kind of, oh, right, that track, him. Yeah, that's a good moment.
Yeah, that was an amazing story. I mean, it was a situation in the UK at the time was, for some reason, Hunter S. Thompson's quotes became the how can I explain this? At the bottom of every club flyer back in the day, you would give flyers out of clubs. Well, there would always be a saying on the bottom of the flyer. And Hunter S. Thompson became the rebel, which suited nightclubs at the time. So I was a fan of what he'd done. So I'm like, well, listen, I've got nothing to lose. Let me see if I can track him down and get in touch with him. Anyway, his wife, who was a lovely woman, was a fan of mine. He didn't really know who I was, to be honest with you. I think that he didn't know who I was. But his wife did. And she said, you should work with him. So we set up a meeting, a call. I went, I spoke to him, and I said, look, I'll write a piece of music around what you read, and you read something that inspires you. Anyway, first night we were working together, there was nothing there. I've got 6 hours of recordings of Hunter S. Thompson. There was nothing there that I could get inspired from, or I felt that was relative to my world, the world of music, the world of youth. And in the second night, I kind of honed him in on the American dream. I was like, what is the American dream? I'm an English man living here. What was Nixon's trial all about? What do you think about the spirit of what Nixon was trying to say and come across? Now, we spoke about the days when he was with the Hell's Angels. We spoke about the days when he was a sports reporter following the NFL, whatever. But I got him. I found one moment where he explained the American dream, and that is called Nixon's Spirit. And that song was recorded under the influence about 5 in the morning, and you can hear that growl in his voice. You may not necessarily understand everything that he's saying, but it captured the spirit and the moment of one of the greatest writers ever, Hunter S. Thompson.
I'm gonna have to go back and listen to it just again to see if I can hear all the stuff that you're talking about.
Yeah, see if you can understand everything that he says, because I can't.
Paul, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about this. Congratulations on the Shine On record. I love this album so much. I cannot wait to hear what you do with this on the road as well. And from what it sounds like, all the stuff that you're also working on musically and non-musically beyond this.
Yeah, thank you so much. Good luck with everything.
And my thanks to Paul Oakenfold again. His new album is called Shine On. And thanks to you as well for checking out the series. Before you get out, do hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening from or at any of the usual spots like iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. I'll give you a brand new interview every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, mostly on Twitter, but also occasionally on Facebook and Instagram, all three of them at Kyle Meredith. Do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Liverpool, Kentucky. Louisville, Kentucky.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Hey there, it's Kyle Meredith from Kyle Meredith With. After you check out the latest episode of my show, be sure to check out some of our other great programs on the Consequence Podcast Network, including Standing BTS, a bi-weekly podcast covering all things BTS and ARMY, and The Opus, Consequence's original documentary podcast exploring legendary albums and their lasting legacies. So head to consequence.net to listen to these podcasts and many great others.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.